can go to the next verse, to verse number 2. Idam jnanam upashritya mama sadharmya ma agataha mama sadharmya ma agataha sarge pino pajayante pralaye navyathanti cha. So again, Sri Krishna says, why should I study? You know, like I said, the first two verses are advertising. He says, why should you read? Because he wants you to be interested in studying the 14th chapter. So, idam jnanam. So, this knowledge that I am about to give you, Sri Krishna says, upashritya. Upa means under. Ashraya means the support or the refuge. So, when you come under the refuge of this knowledge, what it means is that this knowledge becomes part of your life. You start living that knowledge. Like when you're under the refuge of a tree, that means the tree is now sustaining you, keeping you comfortable. So, similarly, this knowledge makes you comfortable, makes you, supports you. Then what happens? Mama sadharmyam agataha. Agataha means he reaches. She reaches mama sadharmyam, reaches me alone. Sadharmyam means becomes one with me, reaches me, loses his identity in me. So when Krishna says me, he does not only mean Krishna or Vishnu, but he means the self, the total consciousness. When Krishna says I, he does not mean I means only Krishna. That means you don't need to go to Ganpati or you don't need to go to Mother Durga or you don't need to go to Jesus. He does not mean that. When he says I, he is identifying himself with the totality, as Hansa said, becomes one with all. So that Brahman, that consciousness, when Krishna identifies himself, then he says, uses the word I. So mama sadharmyam agataha. So having taken refuge in this knowledge, this individual becomes one with me. Then what happens to him? Sarge pi na upajayante. Sarga means at the time of creation. So at the time of creation, na upajayante, he is not born. And pralaye na vyathanti cha. And at the time of dissolution, pralaya, he does not become sorrowful. He does not die. You say he's not born and he does not die? Yes, that's what happens. So let us think a little bit about this. So idam jnanam upashritya. What do we mean by that? As we said, that this knowledge is my only shelter. This knowledge is my only goal. This knowledge is my only purpose in life. As we already talked in the previous verse, so I won't spend too much time on it. This is my main reason why I am here on this earth. Mama sadharmyam agataha. He becomes one with me. What does Uddhava mean by becoming one with me? Swami Chinmayananda in his commentary says that right now we are a perceiver, feeler and thinker. With the body I perceive the objects, with the mind I feel the emotions, with the intellect I think the thoughts, and this perceiver, feeler, thinker, this limited ego is just so busy in the world of objects, emotions and thoughts. I think myself to be this body, mind and intellect. But they say he merges with me means I realize my true nature as the infinite consciousness. I am Krishna, I am Shiva, I am Jesus, I am Buddha, I am Mother Goddess, I am all of those. Why? Because when I say Shiva, you know, Nitya, Sarva Vyapitam Ishanam. In the Shiva's shloka, it says, this Purusha, this Shiva is everywhere. This Vishnu is everywhere. When we say that Father in heaven is everywhere, then he is in me also as life. So that understanding, when it comes, then he says, he comes to my refuge. And this limited ego becomes the infinite. That's when he becomes a great saint. He becomes a great prophet. He becomes a great Mahatma. he accomplishes a lot. Why? Because as long as I think myself to be this limited ego, Anil or whatever, Diana, whatever my name is, whatever my entity is, then I'll be limited. But when I think of myself as this infinite consciousness who at this moment is occupying this body, then every activity of mine will become divine. And that's how these great prophets are able to influence billions of people. Look at Buddha, look at Jesus, look at Swami Chinmayananda. How many people are benefiting from their teachings? Why? Because they realized their infinite nature. So the limited PFT becomes the infinite. You see, how about at the time of death? Don't I go and meet with God? You say, no, you don't. All it happens is you become, from manifest, you become unmanifest. You don't merge with God. All it is, you just merge into your vastness. Because the total vastness is called the Hiranyagarbha, or called the unmanifest. Just as Swamiji in his commentary gives a beautiful example on the fourth chapter, he said that there is a hotel or a dharamshala, you know, whatever, a rest house. And there are four people who go sleep there at night. One is a robber, one is a priest of a temple, one is a businessman, and one is a saint, a realized saint. Now they all occupy four rooms next to each other, 101, 102, 103, 104. Now the robber, he sleeps as a robber. When he gets up in the morning, he's not going to be a realized saint. He's going to still be a robber. He'll get up in the morning and say, okay, now which bank can I rob, or whom can I, which pocket can I pick? The businessman who sleeps as a businessman next morning will wake up and say, how many people can I cheat tomorrow so I'll be more successful? A pandit will say, okay, you know, now I have to go to the temple and, you know, do my pujas and all that. And a realized saint will say, okay, my job is to go and serve the world. So the Mahatma sleeps as a Mahatma, wakes up as a Mahatma. The pandit, the businessman. So similarly, you and I, when we die, as long as we have a lot of vasanas, a lot of ignorance, you go and merge into that ignorance, and then you start your next life from where you were. If you were a, you know, crooked person, you will start your next life. But if you were a spiritually evolved, then even if you have not reached the highest, you will start your life with that goal in mind that I have to evolve. So death is nothing but unmanifest, manifest becoming unmanifest, just as gold, jewelry. You know, when you melt it, what happens? It becomes unmanifest. It becomes gold. And then from that unmanifest gold, you can manifest other jewelry. You can make necklace, bangle and all. So similarly, at the time of death, you from manifest, you become unmanifest. But a person who has realized, and such a person no longer is in the circle of birth and death, he says, Sarge na upajayante, then the person at the time of creation is not born, and pralaye na vyathanti cha, at the time of death, he does not die. So what do we understand by that? See, what happens, we work at three levels. One is the level of the body. Okay, body, at the body level, I'm working at the body level. And at the body level, the body dies, obviously. The body is burnt or is cremated or buried or whatever is done to it. The body is not going to last with me forever. They say, oh, I am the jiva, the mind, intellect and vasanas, this individuality. And that takes another birth. So I drop this body, then I enjoy heaven or hell for a while, and then I continue my new journey. So it is called a change of address. Death is nothing but a change of address. Just as I move from Bakersfield to Santa Maria, so similarly, I died in Bakersfield. Next life, I'm born in Nairobi. You know, so what? It's just a change of address. So death, again, for a person who is at the level of the jiva, still has not, but still some fear. You know, oh, I have to leave my near and dear ones. But when I am at the level of the spirit, then there is no birth, no death. The spirit is never born, it never dies. I am that immortal spirit. Chidananda Rupaha Shivoham Shivoham. Shankaracharya ji says in Nirvana Shatka, I am that Chidananda Rupa Shivo, and I'm never born and I never died. And I never will die. I was never born. There was never a time. Even Krishna in the second chapter says, Arjuna, there was never a time when you and I were not there. And these warriors, they have always existed. Don't think that they are going to die, because there is no death for the soul. So a person who identifies with the spirit, for that person there is no birth, there is no death, there is not even a change of address, because the Brahman, the consciousness, is everywhere. So that's why the wise person says, I am everywhere. I am everywhere, everything is me. He or she has that oneness. But what happens if we think ourselves to be the body? And that is a very important question to address, especially when you talk about death, because death is the biggest fear for everyone. Even for the little ant, you know, when you try to poke him, he will run away or she will run away. A little mosquito or fly, they also don't want to be killed. And forget about humans. We have this strong attachment to the body. Oh, I cannot die. And so even if the doctor tells us you have terminal cancer, you will go to Mayo Clinic and then you will go to, you know, this place and that place and university and, you know, La Jolla, everywhere, so that. But what happens when I am attached to the body? They say that a person who thinks I am this body, death is very painful for that person for two reasons. One is, if I think myself to be the body and my spouse or my children to be the body, then I am separating from them. And so death becomes very painful. Oh, I don't want to leave them. Or I don't want to leave my house. I don't want to leave my money, because my identification is with the body. As long as I am the body, bodily things are very important for me. And so death is very painful for such an individual, because I don't want to leave all the possessions, this body's, you know, identifications. Not only that, but when I think I am this body, then even to leave the body becomes very difficult for the subtle body, for the mind and intellect and vast, for the jiva. Because he thinks I am this body, I cannot even leave the body. Not only I cannot leave the possessions, even leaving the body becomes, you understand what I'm trying to convey. So that strong attachment to the body is so painful. That's why people suffer at the time of death, because they don't want to. But on the other hand, if you look at Mahatmas, you know how peacefully there's a very beautiful story of Tapovan Maharaj. I'll just very briefly tell that. Tapovan Maharaj was the guru of Swami Chinmayananda. Very evolved, very profoundly evolved, very brilliant, realized master. And he was living in Uttarkashi in the Himalayas, where the Gangaji flows, the Ganga River. And he never believed in traveling or moving around. He said, I'm going to stay here. Whoever wants to learn can come and learn from me. And that's what happened. Swami Chinmayananda went and learned. And then Chinmayananda spread his knowledge throughout the world. So he was very sick. You know, I mean, he was, after a few years, he became old, Tapovan Maharaj, and he was very sick. And, you know, there were some few doctors there, and they said, you know, Swamiji, you are very sick. So his followers, this was around 1956, and Swamiji, you know, we don't want you to just, you know, in the Himalayas, there is no medical care. We're going to get a helicopter and fly you to Delhi. It's only, you know, take you to the nearest airport and there'll be a plane waiting. And, you know, followers had enough money. They said, will Swamiji, within an hour or two, you will be in Delhi and we'll get you the best of medical care. So Tapovan Maharaj says, okay, that's very good. But tell me, do people die in Delhi? You know, or they don't? Don't the people die? He says, yeah. He says, then why would I want to torture my body and fly it all the way to Delhi to be lying in some hospital? He says, I'm here in the lap of Mother Ganga. I'm here. She's flowing next to me. I'm just next to her. I'm in such a blissful state. Why would I want to torture myself? And you and I would say, yeah, 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 let's go to Bombay maybe, or Delhi, or maybe let's go to New York. We get even better care. And very peacefully, he just left his body. Why? Because these people have no attachment. They say, I am that Brahman, that consciousness. This body is, you know, when it's time to change my body, I'll drop it. And so that kind of understanding, that's why Krishna says, Sarge na upajayante, pralaye na vyathanti cha. So for such a person, death has no meaning. Death has, you know, Swamiji in his commentary also says that you and I, because we are at the level of, I'm not at the level of the body, okay, but we are so addicted to our mental, our ideas, our thoughts, our impressions, and we are so caught up in our pet, you know, ideas and convictions and beliefs, and anything opposed to my belief is wrong, anything opposed to my ideas I disagree with. And so when you are so addicted to your thoughts, then also becomes a problem, because today an angry thought came, so I became an angry person. So an angry person took birth, and then I became jealous, so an jealous person took birth. And then when the jealousy died, okay, jealous person died, then selfish person took birth, or happy person, or sorrowful person. So these birth and death are not only birth and death at the time of final birth and death, but daily, you know, I am being born and died, like the childhood died, and then youth came, and then youth died, and middle age came, and middle age died. Life is a constant series of changes, of birth and death. Like now, winter is over, now spring is coming, there are beautiful flowers, and then spring will die, and summer will come. So in that life of constant change, that person attaches to the changeless. He knows that the body will change, the mind will change, the intellect will change, the desires will change, the world will change, but I am that changeless. So that understanding comes to this wise person. Another meaning of death in this context which Shankaracharya ji describes when he gives his commentary on Gita Bhashya, he says that when they talk about death, is not the final death, but it is the death of the ego. Once the ego is died, see, you and I, we are in the grip of the ego, and that's why I think of I and mine, me and myself, and you and yours, and his and hers, and she and hers. So that I and my, you and yours, is because we are at the level of the ego. But a person who has gone beyond the ego has become one with that totality, then he has reached that oneness. So at the time of the death of the ego, then this ego is never born again. Then there is no question of birth and death. So that is the final state of realization. Just one last point to talk about relationships, and then we'll end. How do I relate with another person, say my spouse or somebody very close? The first relationship is physical. You know, you meet somebody, you are physically attracted, and you call that person day and night, and you want to spend time, and, you know, you want to. So there is a very close physical attraction. Then after 6 months, year or two, you know, then it slowly, the physical attraction is not that powerful, but then you get emotionally attached. You know, I love this person, and this person is everything for me. But in either case, there is a dependence. Physically, there is a dependence. I have to have that person with me. Even mentally, there is a dependence. Oh, emotionally, I'm so attached. I can't think of my life without this person. They say the relationship between husband and wife, between wife and child, between child and parent should be spiritual. Relation should be of the spirit. That you and I are both that one spirit, and then that true oneness comes. Then I'll never be parted. Even if this person is, you know, not with me, or, you know, has passed away or whatever, I am that spirit and he is that spirit, she is that spirit. So that spiritual relationship, when it comes, then that is pure love. That is the highest love. The highest love is the love of the spirit. Then there is no emotional clinging, there is no physical. It does not mean that you emotionally don't love or physically don't want to be with that person, but you elevate that love to a higher. So that is what they say. When they say that do not be identified with the body, means see the spirit and anybody you meet, because I am that spirit and everybody is that one spirit, that understanding comes. That's why he says, Sarge no upajayante pralayena vyathanti cha, that person is never born, never dies, because he has become one with that spirit. It's beautiful verses. There's a lot more we can talk about, but time is limited, so I'll end here. Any questions, any comments? Right. And also acceptance. You accept the person better, yeah. That's very good. The judgment is less and acceptance is more, yeah. Also, I think when you yourself give up that ego, then even that struggle goes away. Then you just let the Lord work. I think the struggle comes when you say, I. But when you surrender that, then I think the judgment, acceptance, and you also accept yourself better. Not only you accept others, but you accept yourself also better, I think. I'm trying to do that a little bit now because I also have a very, you know, men always we have, and especially I have a very strong ego, and it becomes very hard to give it up. But I think as you slowly try to surrender it, it does help you. It gives you a lot more peace of mind. I find the surrender is very important. Absolutely, yeah. I think they're two sides of the same coin. For others, you should not judge and accept. And for yourself also, you should not judge yourself as being superior. Accept yourself also. But also in other relationships, yes, it's very important.
Yeah.
True. Yeah. No, the openness is very important. Yeah. That's very good. Thank you. Everybody has brought very good points today. I really appreciate that. Thank you. True. I think age is important, but also how spiritually mature you are. You know, like Raman Maharishi, by age of 7 or 8, he was already going into samadhi. Shankaracharya left his house at age 9. Diana's daughter, Taylor, she comes to the Thursday class. She's so young, but her thinking is so advanced. You know, she's already thinking of oneness and how she can improve the atmosphere in her office. There was another young girl, this Thursday class, she must be hardly 20, 22, but she talks so mature how she's trying to be a force of calmness in her office because she meditates and all. So I think it is at what stage you understand that. You know, some people might say, I have to wait till 65. You know, especially in India, if you say, I'm studying Bhagavad Gita, they say, what's wrong with you? You know, are you crazy or what? Wait till you're 65 and retired. So age, yes, it does help. You know, it gives you emotional maturity. But the point is that it depends on your level of spiritual evolution. Some people pick it up very early. And if they do, that's very good. That's what I tell the youngsters who come to the Thursday class. I tell them, you guys are so lucky that you already have started meditating at age 19, 20, 22. But my point is that it's never too late. Even if you're 75 or 80 years old, if you start, because wherever you start, ultimately you have to reach that. And so your next life will continue. Like this Joe Johnson I talked to, he's 89 years old, and he, at age 84, he learned how to meditate about 5 or 6 years ago. And he very sincerely, and he's very fast progressing. You might say, oh, he's too old now. You know, how long is he going to live? But his mind is so active. He sits for an hour, and he meditates, and he does so much service. So the point is that it's never too late. And the sooner you start, the better. But I agree with you 100% that it takes some, for the majority of us, it takes a level of maturity where in the beginning you are attached to the world, to things, to your body, and then slowly, yes, especially as financially we become more comfortable and all, yes. Thank you. That's a good point.
Doesn't that also depend on the previous life, where you are left off?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, if you left off with spirituality, then you start with the same process.
Right. The previous life, yes. That's why these Mahatmas, you know, some of them at age 9, he was already realized, you know, or age 5 or 6. So the previous life, that's why wherever I reach, my next life will continue there. And that's why, yes. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinaha Sarve Santu Niramaya Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu Ma Kaschid Dukkha Bhavet. Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Shri Guru Pyo Namaha Hari Om.